The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 12th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, and the love of my life, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Boy, we're going to have a hot week here in Sonoma County. It looks like today is going to be over 90, and it just, I can already feel it. Listen, I'm very happy to have joining me on the phone this morning will be Executive Director Anita Maldonado. That's Dr. Anita Maldonado, who is the CEO for the California Human Development Organization, and we'll be talking about a great event that's happening, Women in Conversation, and also we'll get an update on what CHD is doing and offering our community. I was so inspired by their description of the organization, and one of the things they said in their definition or their explanation, they said, we open doors, build strong communities, and change lives. And a little secret, I am very familiar with CHD because I was very friendly with one of its founders, George Ortiz, and I'm really excited about doing this interview. Also with me, joining me in the studio are Carolina Haycock and Hannah Hunandi from Indivisible Petaluma, and we'll be talking about their organization and the 22nd Annual Progressive Festival. Actually, the good news is that Indivisible Petaluma has taken over sponsoring and organizing the festival this year, and I want to do a special shout out to Chuck Shear, who was one of the group volunteers who for years worked on this project and did a marvelous job, and now he's turned it over to Indivisible, and I'm sure it's going to have a whole little bit of a new look, and we will be talking about that. Well, you know, I like to do commentaries every once in a while, and I write the Santa Rosa snippets for the Sonoma County Gazette, and I always have a little thing, a commentary at the end, so I say something to think about. And this is so interesting to me in light of what's going on today. Here's what I wrote on the column, something to think about. To me, it was shocking that a government of men would look with such extreme contempt on a movement that was asking nothing except such a simple little thing as the right to vote. And that's a quote from Alice Paul Stokes. Paul was an American suffragette, feminist, and women's rights activist. And if you folks watch Iron Jawed Angels, you'll see during when Alice Paul and that group was organizing, trying to get the right to vote, they were actually waterboarded. They were sent in prison. They were waterboarded. They were isolated. I mean, and all we did was we got the vote by one vote. And it was a mother writing to her son saying, if you don't vote for the vote, the women's right to vote, please don't come home. And I'm thinking about the four women right now. They call them the squad. I really resent that. I resent that they call them a squad, because to me it's a negative connotation about them. They are four individual women who were elected by their districts. To call them the squad or to put them together in kind of any kind of a negative connotation to me is not acceptable. They're trying to speak out. They're trying to speak out for the future of our children. That's how we have to think about it. And when I look at this quote by Alice Paul, this was written in 1919. And look at, women are still being discriminated against. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. It really is. I just don't understand it, because believe it or not, women are the majority, not the minority. So as a body, we have a lot more clout and a lot more power than we really realize. But what we have to do is we have to have the ability to stand up and speak out. And that's what's so interesting about these two interviews that I'm going to be doing. The Progressive Festival is actually a way people can go meet other activists, get some ideas of how they can contribute to the process. And then with California Human Development, they're out there trying to help the immigrant community, trying to help young people get to school, become educated, and do the things that we all need to do to make it a better world. And we have to start thinking about that, you know, we really do, because it's very, very important. You know, election's going to be coming up in 2020. Also, we'll be celebrating 100 years since women got the vote. And it was so mind-boggling to me. Here we are 100 years after we got the vote, and we're still fighting and struggling as if we're second-class citizens. We are the ones who bring the children into this world. We are the ones who bring the future into this world, and we need to be heard and respected more. Well, that's a lot to think about, a lot to say. And what I like to do each show is I like to go over the accomplishments that women made. And it was really interesting. I looked up in my history. I have a little history log that, by the way, is provided by the Sonoma County Women's History Project here. They put out a list every month of all the accomplishments that women have made in their newsletter. And we also do that in the Now publication, let people know. Well, on August 9th, 1995, Roberta Cooper Ramo became the first woman to hold the office of president of the American Bar Association. So that was at August 9th, 1995. What's really interesting is that this was made possible in 1919. Now, just do your math. 1995 subtract 1919 is about maybe 40, 50 years. It was called the Disqualification Removal, an act that paved the way for women to become admitted into the legal profession. Women were first admitted to the Law Society in 1922. The first four women to be admitted were Maud Crofts, Carrie Morrison, Mary Pickett, and Mary Skykes. Now, isn't that amazing? 1919 was when we first got the right. Actually, 1922, when the first women went into law practice. And then finally, in 1995, Roberta Cooper Ramo. Sounds like might be a woman of color. Became the first woman to hold the office of president for the American Bar Association. So congratulations. And today's August 12th. I thought it'd be worth mentioning. And then on August 12th, 1972, Wendy Rue found the National Association for Female Executives, NAFE, the largest businesswoman's organization in the United States. You know, it's very interesting. 1972. Prior to that, you did not hear about women who were, you know, executives. And here we are, 1972, and here finally she was able to lead an organization, something like this. And another thing that's happened that I think is worth mentioning, and I'm going to look at my notes here. We had a wonderful, wonderful woman in our midst, and she'll always be in our midst because she's a writer, she's an author, very well known, and that's Chloe Anthony Wolford Toni Morrison. She was born Chloe, what a great name, Ardelia Wolford, February 18th, 1931, and she made her transition on August 5th, 2019. She was an American novelist, essayist, editor, teacher, and professor emeritus at Princeton University. Her first novel, The Bluest Eyes, was published in 1970. The critically acclaimed Song of Solomon in 1977 brought her national attention and won the National Book Critics Circle Award. In 1988, she won the Pulitzer Prize and the American Book Award for Beloved. You know, Beloved was a movie that was made out of that novel. Morrison was also awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in Literature in 1993. Amazing. And then all the way in 2016, she received a Presidential Medal of Freedom. Excuse me. In 2016, she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Well, my condolences go out to the family, and a big shout out for all the wonderful things that Toni Morrison has accomplished and let us know and made us aware of. I mean, there's so many great women around. You know, it's kind of interesting when you start thinking about it. Well, so there's some interesting things that are coming up. You know, one of the things that I found that in my research, if I can find my notes, I mean, it's amazing. There's so much paper. You know, they say when we bring in computers, there's not going to be any more paper. If you should see what I'm sitting here, I'm just inundated with paper. On August 19th, at the Central Santa Rosa Library, that's at 211 East Street in Santa Rosa, there's going to be a presentation on 400 years from slavery, Now What, presented by the Legacy Showcase. And that's going to be happening, like I said, next Monday, August 19th at 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And I'll see if I can get maybe next week we can have Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, if she's listening, we can maybe have her do a little bit of a background. She does some Legacy Production does some Legacy Showcases does some amazing productions. So I'd encourage you folks to attend. That's going to be at 211 East Street in Santa Rosa, Monday, August 19th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Also, something real interesting is happening up at the library, and I'm just going to give you a slight overview on it, and we'll talk a little bit more about it next week. But on August 31st, they're going to be having what is called, the headline is Bring Your Broken Stuff to Northwest Libraries Reuse and Repair Party. And they also are looking for volunteers. They really need volunteers. So if you want to volunteer, you want to find out a little bit more about it, call Jenny Rockwell at 707-546-2265. She's one of the librarians down there, and she'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. It really sounds like a pretty interesting thing. And tonight here, Monday, August 12th, this is a very important event that's happening. It's happening at the Peace and Justice Center. That's going to be tonight from 6:30 to 8:30. They're going to be talking about immigration horrors, Monsanto's, and what we need to do about it. So that's going to be tonight, Monday, August 12th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. They're going to have Michael Cohen, KPFA's, I think it's called Flashpoints. Dennis Bernstein is going to be there. He's going to be talking about some of the things around immigration. And then the woman by the name of Sally Latch is going to be there, and it's going to be her. She's going to talk about her book, Hear Me, Rare, Raw Interviews. It's an interesting title, that's for sure. Well, it's going to be at the Peace and Justice Center. That's at 467 Sebastopol Avenue in Santa Rosa. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we're going to be talking about the annual Progressive Festival. That's going to be happening Sunday, August 25th from 12 noon to 4. And that's going to be in Walnut Park on D Street in Petaluma. And I'll tell you something, it's one of the most fun festivals you can go to, and also lots of information. So there's no reason that any of us should be bored, to be honest with you. There's so much going on in the world that, you know, and so many things that we can get involved with. And we need to get involved. We need to get more involved. We need to really understand that democracy takes work. And if you just sit back passively and say, oh, well, he'll take care of it, I'll take care. No, no. We all have to take care of it. We all have to come together. We all have to speak out. We have to stand up for what we believe is right and what we believe is true. And the most important thing, the minimum thing, I mean, this is the least anybody in our country can do, and that is vote. So if you're not registered, make sure you're registered. If you've got friends who say, oh, my vote doesn't count, well, I want to tell you a little story about how your vote doesn't count. They had an election up in, it was in Windsor, and I don't want to mention names, but it was for the Board of Supervisors. This woman that ran lost by 37 votes. So please don't tell me that your vote doesn't count. You have to vote. It's very important. That's what democracy is all about. It's participation. And what really saddens me about our country when people don't vote, there are countries across the globe where people are dying so they can get the vote. Look what they went through for the civil rights movement to get the vote. Voting is very important. And, you know, when they say your vote doesn't count, they want you to believe that. They want you to believe that your participation does not count, but it does count, and it's the very least you can do is vote and make sure you register to vote. And if you have any kids at home, remember, 18 years old, they can vote. I remember with my grandson Ryan, it was just before his birthday, his 18th birthday, and at his birthday party, we registered him. And it was really, it was very exciting. And it made Grandma cry because I thought, oh my God, my baby, now he can vote. Now he's a father. I mean, time goes by. It definitely does. Well, there's a lot to think about, a lot to consider, and a lot of things we can do. And what I always say is, a lot of people say, well, I'm overloaded. I have to go to work. I have to take care of my children. Well, make a list. There's all kinds of different ways that you can participate. Number one, of course, you can volunteer. Number two, you can write a check to your favorite organization. I can't believe how many dollar donations I've been making lately with this presidential campaigns going on, because they're trying to get public financing rather than going to the corporates. And also, you can volunteer. You can work with Indivisible. They'll give you a phone list. You can call from your own home and do some of the things that need to be done to encourage people to vote and to participate. So there's lots to think about. There's lots we need to do. And the most important thing, and I'm saying this for myself also, and this is a hard one, don't get discouraged. Don't allow all the negativity to overtake you. Recognize you do have power as an individual. And collectively, as women, we have tremendous power. There's no need for us to be, to put, and just take all the stuff that's being thrown on us. We just have to stand up and be counted. Lots to think about, ladies. Well, we're going to take a musical break. And, wait a minute. I am a little ahead of myself. We're going to take a musical break, and the song that I'm going to be playing is... Oh, no, we're not ahead of ourselves. We are going to play is We Have Come a Long Way, Ladies, sung by Earth Mama. And when we return, joining me on the phone will be Executive... Excuse me. Oh, it's Standing on the Shoulders. I'm so sorry. We're going to be playing Standing on the Shoulders by Earth Mama. And when we return, joining me on the phone will be Executive Director Dr. Anita Maldonado, who is the CEO for the California Human Development Organization. And we'll be talking about their organization and also a great event coming up, Women in Conversation. And also, like I said, we're going to have an update on their organization. Enjoy the song, Standing on the Shoulders, sung by Earth Mama.
I am standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before me. I am stronger for their courage. I am wiser for their words. I am lifted by their longing for a fair and brighter future. I am grateful for their vision, for their toiling on this earth. We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us. They are saints and they are humans. They are angels, they are friends. We can see beyond the struggles and the troubles and the challenge, when we know that by our efforts things will be better in the end. By their passion for us. routine. I will stand a little taller. I will work a little longer. And my shoulders will be there to hold the ones who follow me.
Yes, we are standing on the shoulders of really great women. Well, for you just tuning in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. God, I forgot my name for a second. Without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest. Joining me on the phone is Executive Director Dr. Anita Maldonado, who is the CEO for the California Human Development Organization. Welcome, Dr. Maldonado. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Good morning, and thank you for having me, Elaine.
Oh, I'm just so happy to have you. I just love the California Human Development Department. I mean, I just love that organization. I'm very, very familiar with it. I actually worked in the 70s with George Ortiz when I used to be part of CETA and used to help him with his grants. So I'm really very proud to be doing this interview. And before we start, is it okay if I tell the folks a little bit about you, and is it okay if I call you Anita?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, let's go. Anita Maldonado has worked in the social services field since 1997 after obtaining her master's degree in public administration, working in various nonprofits in various capacities. Anita has also worked as an adjunct faculty at Kent State University and at Franklin University in Columbus, Ohio. She holds a PhD in higher education administration from Kent State University. Anita, an Ohio native, assumed the position of CEO of California Human Development in April of 2017, following the retirement of longtime CHD leader Christopher Page, who did a marvelous, marvelous job. She was formerly the Chief Operating Officer for Impact Community Action in Columbus, Ohio, and comes to CHD with an extensive background in social services and community action. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this wonderful, wonderful resume?
Well, Elaine, thank you so much for that introduction. I think you've covered it all.
Well, talk a little bit about your background. I mean, you know, being part of Human Services, you know, this is Women's Spaces, and one of the things is we try to encourage people to excel themselves, and it's great when they have women like yourself as examples. So tell us a little bit, what motivated you to become part of Human Services and to get your education, and also where did you get your courage and what were some of the challenges?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it's been a journey for me coming from a parent of a very, moderate background in Lorain, Ohio. They taught me the value and the work ethic to really kind of work, you know, for what you wanted. And that education was the key in getting to some of the dreams and aspirations that I had as a child. And my parents really encouraged me to take the plunge and to be courageous to move on with my education so that I'm able to lead and inspire and do some of the things that I'm doing today. I have a rich history. Social services has always been in my blood. I always have a passion to serve, and I believe in servant leadership. And with that in mind, it just really kind of translates to my work that I'm doing in California Human Development today and what I've been doing since I've, you know, come to my new home here in Santa Rosa, April of 2017.
So what gave you that courage, you know, that emphasis to just keep moving forward? I mean, you have a doctorate degree. I mean, a lot to be proud of. What was that kernel that really gave you that confidence?
Oh, I think that the support from my parents and the encouragement from having parents who did not have terminal degrees or didn't have first degrees. Ironically, my sister was always we had a friendly competition because she, too, herself has a PhD, and she encouraged me to go for mine. And so my parents, you know, were really proud to have two doctors in the family.
This is what a wonderful, wonderful story. Well, talk a little bit about the California Human Development. What is it, and what do you see its role in the community? I mean, it's been around a long time. I think it's about they're celebrating 50 years, if I'm correct.
We're 52 years.
Oh, 52.
Yeah, a little over 50. And, you know, we're a human services organization that creates paths and opportunities for people in need to rise above barriers in their pursuit of better lives. And we really take that seriously in the programs and the services that we offer. We were first inspired to serve our state's farm workers, and we're dedicated in helping low-income people from all walks of life in the 31-county footprint that we have in Northern California.
So you're serving 31 counties now?
We do.
Oh, my goodness. You've really, really expanded since it's been a long time since I was involved with it. But I remember when it was really, really operating, even at that time, how positive and how strong it was in the community. What is your role? I mean, what are some of the things that you brought to the table? What are some of the new ideas or some of the excitement that you have about being participating now?
Well, you know, I came, you know, in an organization that's, again, been very stable, well over 50 years. I had big shoes to fill from my predecessor, Chris Page, and also the founder, George Ortiz. And so I wanted to bring my own flavor to CHD. And to that end, I've been really working on the internal systems and processes of the organization, trying to streamline and be more effective so that we're able to provide effective services throughout our county footprint. And I'm an organizational development person, so bringing that to the table has really kind of helped us move to the next level.
Do you find now with a lot of the immigration issues that are going on that you're even more active than you've been in the past, or is that adding to the activity?
We have an immigration and citizenship business line, but definitely it is added to the work that we're doing. I mean, it's a whole new atmosphere, and we're trying to keep up with the current state of affairs so that we're able to serve and continue to serve people in a safe environment. We're a trusted member of the community, and so to that end, we're hoping that we can continue to provide those services to the people that we serve.
Well, I just want to do a shout out for all of you. You've been working for years and years for our community, and it's greatly, greatly appreciated. Well, let's talk about the exciting thing that's happening on August 16th. I understand you're getting together, and I'm really impressed. I mean, I have the flyer in front of me. You have some pretty heavy duty, heavy hitters in our community coming to do a program called Conversations with Women. It's going to be a panel of women from the community who have achieved a level of success. What was their motivation behind? What was the motivation behind the event? And talk a little bit about it. I mean, how did this all come about? I know there's been another group that's been doing conversations with women, but they've been bringing more outsiders out of the community. Mm-hmm. Looks like your spread is. I mean, one of my favorites is Linda Hopkins, you know, and you have Elizabeth Gore, which is Supervisor Gore's wife. And then you have a few other people that I really haven't heard about, but they really look like they're really got some excellent things to share. And then Karen Demers is going to be the moderator. So talk a little bit about the event. What motivated you and why you think it's important?
Well, I think that for us, we wanted to become thought leaders in our community. And what best than to bring some of the best female thought leaders in the area together to have a conversation. We really wanted the opportunity to gather local area community women leaders to really engage in meaningful, thought-provoking dialogue with the community. What we hope to have is a conversation with unique perspectives, unique dialogue, and a diversity of opinions. And hopefully that if the evening goes well, we hope that a variety of interactions will occur and people will leave with added value. You know, things are happening in this world. I mean, with the Me Too movement, with the, you know, issues of gender and pay gap, we wanted to bring those conversations to the forefront. And we wanted to get the perspective and also know and understand the leadership trajectory of all of the wonderful panelists that we have. Who are going to headline our event on August 16th.
Well, I know it's very important that women show up as role models, because it's almost like I remember when I first went back to school, I remember saying to myself, oh, this is impossible. It's not going to happen. You know, I can't do it. And in meeting other people who have done it, who have struggled through it and who have made it, it really gave me a lot of confidence. So I think I would think that would be one of your primary goals also.
Absolutely. You know, we've all had mentors in our lives and we all stand on shoulders of others who have helped us, and I think the onus as leaders is also to pay it forward by providing mentorship to other young ladies and other folks so that they too can have an opportunity to become their own leader in their own right.
Well, I think I agree with you 100%, and I really thank you for doing this. I mean, it looks like, and there is, I want you to get the website, and there is a cost. We're not allowed to talk about cost, but there is a cost, and people can find out all the information. So if you could tell us, Anita, how can we find out the information? What are your websites, and any final words that you would like to say? This segment is coming to an end.
Sure. The website is cahumandevelopment.org. And if people go there and press the social tab, they'll find the link to the event information. Again, August 16th, Paradise Ridge Winery on Thomas Lake Harris Drive in Santa Rosa between 5 and 9 p.m. In terms of last words, we're hoping that the audience is emotionally invested and that the audience will also accept the call to action challenge, which is a part of that conversation. We want to continue to keep the conversation going, and as a part of that, the panelists will call for a call to action that we hope that people will go out and post on our website, hashtag Conversations with Women.
So what we're going to do, just to let you know, is that we also have a website, www.womenspaces.com. And we will put a copy of the flyer. So if they missed any of the information or you have any other questions or any other thoughts, it'll all be online, and also the information that we just gave you now. Well, Anita, any last words? And, oh, I want to do a shout-out for your assistant, Lindsay. I mean, she is just an absolute wonder to work with, and I want to thank her for being so efficient and so, you know, so caring and taking care of everything for us. So are there any last words or any thoughts that you would like to share with our listeners?
I hope that people will have an opportunity to really come and engage in a beautiful evening with good conversation, wine, good food, and we hope that people will leave out of there with a sense of information and call to action. So we welcome everybody, and we're excited to have this event. And thank you, Elaine, for having me.
Well, can you give the website one more time?
Sure. It's cahumandevelopment.org, and remember to press on the social tab.
Well, Dr. Anita Maldonado, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest and for all the work that you're doing with the California Human Development. And I want to wish you much success with this event. And if you have any further questions or you need anything else, please do not hesitate to let me know.
Thank you for having me, Elaine.
My pleasure. That's for sure. Oh, my God. There are so many wonderful women in this community. It's just amazing to me. And I want to do a special shout out to Dr. Anita Maldonado for being such a wonderful guest on the show, and also for pulling this together. You know, once again, it's called Conversations with Women. It's going to be happening at the Paradise Ridge Winery, 4545 Thomas Lake Harris. What a funny name, Thomas Lake Harris, in Drive in Santa Rosa, California. It's going to be happening from 5 to 9 p.m. and presented by the California Human Development Organization. And If you go on www.womenspaces.com, you'll see a copy of the flyer and even more information. Well, after that conversation, and after thinking about what the interview is going to be like today and how excited I am that the wonderful things that are happening here in our county, I just picked this wonderful song that I just admire. Let's put it this way. I admire Earth Mama, and that's why I'm playing two of her songs today. And in light of what everything that we were talking about with Dr. Maldonado, this song has a special place for me. It's "We Have Come a Long Way, Ladies," sung by Earth Mama. And when we come back, we will be talking with Carolina Haycock and Hannah. Can Hannah pronounce your name?
Hanan Hunady.
Okay. From Indivisible Petaluma, who will be talking about the organization. And this year, Indivisible has taken over the 22nd Annual Progressive Festival, and I'm really excited to hear about some of the things that they're going to be doing and maybe some of the changes that are inspired them. So let's go and listen to Earth Mama, and that's "We've Come a Long Way, Ladies."
Sometimes the hand that rocks the cradle has got to rock the boat. It's a line that I remember from the diary Grandma wrote as she rode the train to Washington to stand and speak her mind. She made some waves that brought a change and made a mark in time. We've come a long way, ladies, and we still got a ways to go. Once more those waves of change are moving from sea to shining sea. Women and men are talking with a new honesty about freedom and choices, and have no one has to lose. The doors to the club are opening. God knows we've paid our dues. We've come a long, long way, ladies. From no boat and high button shoes to the Capitol steps and the evening news. From women's wrongs to women's rights, it's a rough and rocky road. We've come a long way, ladies, and we've still got a ways to go. We've come a long way, ladies. From no vote and high button shoes, come a long way, ladies, and we've still got a ways to go. We've come a long way, ladies. We've come a long way, ladies. Yes, we've come a long way, ladies. Long way, ladies.
Yes, we have come a long way, ladies. But, you know, we've got to make sure that we keep our eye on the prize. And we're going to talk a lot about what, you know, what Anita Maldonado was saying about call to action. We're also going to have a little bit of discussion on that. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guests, Carolina Haycox and Hana Hunedi from Indivisible, and we're going to be talking about the Petaluma Festival that's coming up, I believe, at the end of this month. So welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
Well, let's identify yourself. Carolina, let's hear your voice. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having us in your show. We really, really appreciate it.
Well, it's fun having you. And yeah, let's hear your voice.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much. We're so excited to be here and to share what we've been working on.
Well, no. So let me tell our folks a little bit about you. You both have such interesting resumes. Carolina Haycox is a Latina, an immigrant, and dual citizen of both Colombia and the United States. She has lived in Colombia, New York, China, and now California. She holds a degree in international business and is a certified yoga and meditation instructor. Boy, I'll tell you something. That's something that activists need. They need a good yoga instructor and someone to teach you how to meditate. Wonderful. But her favorite job is the mother of two, raising them in bilingual and bicultural family in Petaluma. She is one of the organizers of the Petaluma Progressive Festival, and she is also active in the community as a member of TIDE, Team for Inclusivity, Diversity, and Equity, Indivisible Petaluma, Amor Para Todas. And she runs a little group on Facebook called Women's Rights Are Human Rights. Boy, that is wonderful. I love that. Women's rights are human rights. You know, we got to get that. And also, we're a majority, not a minority. So we have the right to speak out. And let me tell you a little bit about Hana Hunedi. She is a Palestinian American, a storyteller, an activist, a teacher, a member of the queer community, and a mother of two teenagers, aged 19 and 16. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting in the studio here, and she has two teenagers, 19 and 16. You don't even you look like you could be a teenager, 19. So that's wonderful.
Thank you.
She has worked with in-risk youth in various capacities and just completed her master's degree and her thesis, which addressed juvenile justice, recidivism rates, and reintegration processes. Originally from Seattle, she has been an active member of the Petaluma community for 15 years. Did you get your degree from Sonoma State?
No, I finished it at Dominican University.
Dominican University. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Well, ladies, let's begin. Let's just talk a little bit about your activism before we get into the Petaluma, festival. Let's start with you, Carolina. Talk about, what do you mean women's rights or human rights? I mean, where did you get that idea?
Well, I got inspired to make this group mostly because I was just tired sitting in my couch complaining about our current situation. So I was like, I don't know, I feel like I need to do a little bit more. So I decided to join Indivisible, the national organization, and then that's how I created this little group, just to inspire others to work or to see what is going on currently in our democracy and in our country. So, and also because with all this, you know, the movement, the women's movement, I was, you know, I wanted to help to make the fight as well. As a woman, as a mother, as whoever you want to call me, immigrant. So that's pretty much what I created this group.
Well, I really want to validate something, because when someone asks me, who are you, I always say, I am a woman first. I'm a woman first.
Yes.
I mean, that is the most important thing. It doesn't matter what color you are, what religion you are. You are a woman. And as women, we must stick together. And that's what I think what you mean, women rights or human rights. It's mm-hmm. very important. But often women don't see themselves that way. They really don't. How about you, Hana? Talk about your activism, and also you're big on call to action. So talk a little bit about that, and talk about a little bit of your background and how you got involved and what is motivating you.
Sure, absolutely. Growing up in a household where my father was not only an immigrant but a refugee, and he was a socialist Muslim. My mom was a born-again Christian American, so it was a very diverse household, and our living situations were very diverse. We lived on a farm. We lived in the projects in an African-American neighborhood. We lived in Kuwait, and I remember bombs going off. So I had a very diverse exposure and came to really just, at a young age, see the importance of humanity and the importance of human rights. I saw my father being discriminated against quite a bit growing up, and that really stuck in my mind, and it would really upset me when I was little, and I thought, you know, this isn't right. He's such a good human. People shouldn't be treating him this way. So I think it just naturally was a part of my fiber as I got older, and I found that my particular passion is working with in-risk youth, especially, you know, throwing back to growing up in the projects and around gangs in the 1990s when gangs were very much an epidemic. You know, we have a lot of that here and now in Sonoma County and Marin County, and I think it's so important that we put effort into those neighborhoods and communities way more than we are right now.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. I used to work for, when I was getting my master's degree, I worked for a group called Neighborhood Youth Corps, and they worked with at-risk youth. And I had a young man that I put into, he was helping the police department in their yard, you know, with their police car. And I get a call from the chief at 2 o'clock in the morning that I had to be in his office at 9 o'clock that next day. And it turned out that the kid had taken a police car out and was running around the streets, you know, with the siren and everything. And so I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the story, and I said to the chief, he says, "Why are you so quiet?" And I says, "Well, I was just looking at you, and I was wondering, you know, see yourself as a teenager. You know, here you are put in front of a, you know, in a yard that's got all these cars with the keys in them and everything. You know, the temptation is so." And he looked at me. I was Miss Pine at the time. He looked at me. He says, "Miss Pine," he says, "I can tell you want us to give him a second chance." I said, "Absolutely." And so he did. 7 years later, I was in Rayleigh's supermarket, and all of a sudden I hear somebody screaming, "Miss Pine, Miss Pine," and I looked at it, I didn't even recognize it, a man with a little wife and a little baby, you know. Well, it turned out to be this young person who went on to college, who went on to have a career, and I was blown away. And he said that he's always wanted to find me just to thank me that he got that second chance. I mean, it chokes me up when I think about it. So I really validate people that work with youth. It's so important. You don't know. You know, we put judgments on people, you know, and we don't know what's going on in their lives and that maybe they need a little support. So I just wanted to throw that in. I hope you don't mind.
No, absolutely.
Well, let's begin. Let's talk a little bit about Indivisible. If you can just give me one or two ideas, and then we're going to talk about the Progressive Festival.
Indivisible is it's a national reaction to the Trump election. I mean, in a nutshell, that's what it is. You know, we all woke up a little more after Trump was elected, I'd like to believe. And I think people who had never really been involved in local politics before suddenly understood the importance of it. So Indivisible really is an outlet for that and a tool for that.
Well, you know, you kind of support I Have an Idea. Everything happens for the highest and greatest good, because one of the things that this president did is he put everything on the table. There's no hiding anymore. There is no hiding. We have issues of racism in this country, and we have issues of prejudice that we really need to look at, and we need to look at some of the wars that we're supporting. So I think that's important. I think that he's really played a part to let us wake up. And I think we are waking up, because that's what democracy, at least we have a democracy that gives us a chance to wake up and make change. And people have to recognize how important that is. So go ahead, continue.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a couple of local leaders in Petaluma, Kamala Brown, Syra, Amber. I could list a few more who really picked up that progression. Everyone was upset. We wanted to do something. And so we had a few amazing local leaders that said, okay, let's do something. And they have been hosting all kinds of vigils and local speeches. We held our first Women's March this year. I was one of the speakers. I was really happy to be able to do that. And there's been a lot of change and action in Petaluma. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think it's very inspiring, all the work that these women are doing in our community. So that's also what got me in. I just wanted to be part of that movement and help to make the difference.
Why do you think it makes a difference? What makes a difference here? What do you think it is?
Well, that we come together, not only as women, but as a community, as a diverse community. We have people from different backgrounds that we kind of like understand each other and accept each other. And it's like, okay, why we cannot just expand this acceptance to the rest of our community here? It doesn't have to be only between our organization. We can do that, you know, within our Sonoma County community, with our California community, with, you know, with the whole country. So, and that's the belief that we have, and that's what we're fighting for.
Well, in this moment, sitting here, just sitting across from you, Carolina, I have some hope. You know, I mean, we have to hold on to that. You know, like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, we don't want to get discouraged. We want to be able to move forward because we have some heavy issues right now.
Yeah.
And we can't fight, we can't bow out. We have to move forward. We can't move backwards. I mean, that's somehow I feel when I think of 2020 is going to be 100 years since we got the vote. I'm asking myself, have we really moved forward or are we going backward? You know, and we have to really be aware of that. So go ahead. What was your thought on that?
Well, I think what I've come to realize personally is that the greatest power I have personally as a citizen or a member of our society is local. I feel so empowered in the things that I know I can do locally. I worked at a local high school a few years back and was really sad to see that there was a lot of racism, a lot of homophobia, a lot of xenophobia, which was just a reflection of our greater community. It surprised me and saddened me, and I realized there's so much local work that needs to be done. We live in a bubble. We live in a beautiful community, but there's work that needs to be done, and we cannot fall asleep at the wheel.
We also live in a prosperous community. I mean, you live in a prosperous community, you got time and a little bit more leeway to do a little bit more. Well, let's talk about the Progressive Festival, one of my favorite festivals. You know, one of the things that happened with Ken and I were talking, because I will be there, and we were wondering, in light of everything that's happening, how are you going to handle security? Is there any issues around that?
That's been a conversation we've been having. I mean, the tricky thing is, just to be very honest, We are centering people who are coming from communities who have traditionally been discriminated against, some of them by the police. We want to work towards a better relationship with the police within our communities, but that is kind of a tricky thing when we're hosting something that is centering people that come from really sensitive communities around that.
And especially after this shooting where they were targeting, you know, minorities, and they were targeting, you know, Latino communities. So, yeah, it's been in the conversation. Yeah, it feels a little, you know, scary, but we cannot stop. We just need, as you say, we just need to keep moving forward. We cannot just hide and, you know, do nothing. We just need to be there.
Well, I'd like to personally encourage the Petaluma Police Department to step up. I know they're a great department. I mean, I worked with them when I was working in Petaluma. And the importance for the police to recognize that you're one of us. You know, you have children, you have wives, you know, and a lot of you are people of color, you know. I mean, a lot of you are diverse. A lot of you have diverse people in your family. I mean, we're not separate. Just because you're a policeman, you're still a person. So, I mean, I think it's important. Well, thank you for answering that. So what was the motivation? Why did Invisible get involved? And talk a little bit about the event and who's going to be there and what are some of the things and where it's going to be.
Well, I will talk about, like, what is the festival. So the Petaluma Progressive Festival is creating a platform centering people and voices from traditionally marginalized communities. So we believe that by centering these voices and creating opportunities for people and organizations to connect, we hope community members will become more informed about what is happening with our communities, what work is already being done to create progressive change, and how they can join in those efforts. So that is our goal with this festival right now, and we invite everyone to join us and get active.
And we have some amazing MCs and speakers this year that we're really excited are joining us. We have, our MCs are actually two sisters from the Russian River, Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Oh, we're so them. Excited. Oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah, so we'll have Sister Sarah Femme Fatale and Sister Novice Sister Eliza Mensch. Very exciting.
Mensch.
Good. Yes, I know what that means. We're going to have some amazing musicians. One in particular, Nick Lawrence, is a man who is identifies as he, him. He is a trans man. He is also does a lot of work with foster care systems, and he'll be singing about his experience as a trans man, which is wonderful. We have all kinds of wonderful speakers, really inspirational.
We have my friend on there, Demetra Smith.
Demetra.
I love Demetra. She, we served on the Human Rights Commission, and she is one of the most articulate, I mean, one of the most articulate women that I know. So I'm giving you a shout out, Demetra.
Absolutely. I think the one that I is my personal most exciting person coming, his name is David Escobar. He works with the Canal Alliance, which is now known as the Multicultural Center of Marin County. He has done a lot of work with his community, and he is also teaching classes on Indigenous Studies college level. He will be speaking on the history of people of color in cages.
Okay, we're coming to the end of the segment, so why don't you give your website and the date and the time that it's happening.
Okay, our website is HTTP, and it is PetalumaProgressiveFestival.org.
And it's happening on August 25th from 12 to 4 at Walnut Park in Petaluma, and it's completely free and is kid-friendly.
We are also having a fundraiser this Friday at Griffo Distillery from 7 to 10. Please come out, listen to some amazing fiddle, and taste their distilled wines, alcohols.
Well, and as you know, all this will be listed on the Women's Spaces site, www.womenspaces.com. Well, thank you, Hannah, and thank you, Carolina. Thank you both for being here. You've been wonderful guests. Thank you so much. A shout-out to Indivisible for all that you do. Wow, that's some show. Thank you so much to Dr. Anita Maldonado from the California Human Development. I'm really excited that we were able to have her on. It's just amazing some of the things that they are doing. And also to remind you that there's going to be that Women in Conversation event that's going to be happening, where CHD is putting that on, and that's going to be next week. Excuse me, what's the date on these things? I'm a little bit confused here. I'm so sorry. Can't find the flyer. Oh, here we go. Sorry about that. Okay, it's going to be happening on August 16th at Paradise Ridge Winery. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time. Because the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 12th, 2019.